Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Ships arrived from Europe. Land was taken. And, you know, this day, like I said, is Australia Day. It's the day that the nation became known as Australia. But then at the same time, this was the land for many, many thousands of years before that. Niza Samoa, who actually moved from Asia to live here 5 years ago, don't come in here just to benefit from what this land has to offer for us. But recognize our role as Christians to serve this land and this great nation and this area of Logan. So it's my heart, it's Henry's heart, and Helen's heart, and just all of our leaders and our people here to serve. And I just wanted to open by praying, actually. And just praying that that God would have his way in the community, and that God would use us as a people. The church is not a building. In case you didn't notice, we don't have our own building. Not yet. But it's not about buildings. It's about the people. And you are the people. So I pray that this time together that we have, more than just me and my ability to communicate from the scriptures, but the sense of community and the Bible being alive in us will actually encourage you to find purpose and meaning. And even if you're in this room, maybe you came because of one of your relatives is a part of Every Nation Brisbane. They invited you, promised you food. Tomorrow you'll keep that promise. I don't know how good the food's going to be, but we'll keep that promise. But I want to promise you food that will cause you to never go hungry again. Yeah. That's our heart, is to provide that sort of sustenance for this area. We're not the only church. We recognize, too, we're not the only church. We're not here to compete with other churches. We know our role. We're actually here to support and stand with the rest of the body of Christ here. So right from the get-go, we want to establish this culture of honor for the people of this land, honor for the people, those of us who live in this great city of Logan. Thank you for receiving us as a church, joining the greater body of Christ, and reaching this great city for our God. So, Lord, we come in recognition that, just like your scriptures say, in Matthew 16, your desire is to build a church that the gates of hell will not prevail. And so, God, it's our heart to join with the saints all over this great city of Logan to embark on this journey, to be able to see your people shine brighter than ever before, that your glory may be seen. I actually see the body of Christ, not just this church, but the churches across this city, oh God, that would unite and form somewhat of a lighthouse, that the broken ships that have been wrecked along storms and just the torrents of life would actually find their way back to the shore of your love, as the lighthouse of your love shines brightly here in Louisville. Lord, help us to be a people that would shine brightly, not just on a Sunday, but Lord, from Monday to Saturday and onwards, Lord, in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in every aspect of the way we live, may we shine to your glory. May we bless you, Lord. And thank you for what you're about to do in this place, in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I'm actually going to read for you a bit of the Bible. Is that all right? For those of you who aren't familiar with church culture, this is what we do in church. We actually, this is book. It's called the Bible. Hey man, you don't know, right? Like some of us grew up in church, we know how to do the churchianity thing. But you know, if we're getting busy about reaching the people in Logan that don't know Christ, you know, it's all about creating that environment for them to encounter God. So I don't want to take that for granted. You know, you're not familiar, maybe some of you all, had a Bible in your house for a long time, and maybe it's been used to, hold that unsteady leg on your dinner tables, and you kind of slot it in there because it's just the right thickness, that old King James, that, you know, you open it up, and Psalm 1 is called Bethel, you know, like the dust, you know, like, out of verge is the usefulness of your Bible. But if you have a Bible, you can go to it. In fact, we'll have it up on the screen, and just out of reverence for the reading of God's Word, can I invite you to stand to your feet? This is something we'd like to do, just to reveal God's Word. We're going to actually read, just to give you a break from my voice, I'm going to give it to Henry to read this passage for us.
2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 10, it says this: I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Lord, we pray that you come speak through my mouth, think through my mind. We want to hear from you. I want to get out of the way of what you have to speak to us, your children, today. So we thank you for this opportunity to launch into what you desire to speak in Jesus' name. Say amen.
Amen.
Turn to somebody and tell them, this is us.
This is us.
Somebody else go, that's us, bro. As I've already said, we're here on Australia Day. We acknowledge the indigenous people of this land, and you know, we're really excited to see Christ manifest in the city. And just to know, let you know what we're about. In fact, this is going to be our series from now until we fully launch in April. So that the idea, some of I know that. There's been many questions around what a preview service is. A preview service, the services that you hold before you fully launch, so as to, number one, you want to establish a core team. Number two, you want to also establish the vision and the values of the people, because you know what? We're the sort of church that everybody's welcome, but not everybody is called necessarily to work with us. Like, some of you may be visiting, and again, everybody's welcome to visit. But you may have your own home church, and we want you to be faithful in your own church, be faithful to serve where God's called you, because we understand that it's all about being where God's called you to be. We're not the sort of church that, you know, like, we want everybody to come, everybody to be a part of Every Nation Brisbane, because we recognize that some of us are called to different churches all across the city. It's not going to be just us or just one church that reaches the city, but recognizing our role in the body of Christ. Now, there are specific things in our DNA, and hopefully, that, you know, over the next 3 months, you'll be able to discover more about who we are and what our DNA is. And for those of you who aren't in a church, or maybe you're here tonight and you obviously say, you know, I'm not really following Jesus yet, well, prayerfully, that will change. We're really believing beyond my ability to communicate, or Charles's ability to sing, or any of us being able to do everything. And I wanted to give it up for all of the volunteers, actually, who serve. The objective is how you serve. And we've got a bunch of volunteers up in the youth area serving your kids and youth there. But ultimately, it's not about how good, you probably see by now, looking at our budget. You're like, well, this isn't like this flash church or this flash. It's not about trying to outdo the production of another church. That's like, might as well go there. We're actually looking at to save people who don't know Jesus, and to make disciples here. That's what we're all about. You know, it's not about trying to compete with this church and that church. It's just about being who God's called us to be. So over the next 3 months, this is what we're going to be talking about. So here's the vision statement of Every Nation Logan, which is actually one of the two locations of Every Nation Brisbane. So we've got Every Nation in Brisbane Central, which meets in the morning at Kangaroo Point, and then this is our second location. So Every Nation Logan is a part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exists to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, and socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. Now, I want you to notice something, because some of y'all might be looking at that and going, well, you're a new church, and you're all about establishing churches. You're just getting started here. We want, within our DNA, it's for us to recognize that we're not here to just create an environment for people to just want to sit in the pew and get the ears to. We recognize inside each and every one of you is a destiny and purpose and a mission that God has called you to live out. Part of that is impacting the lives of people around you. That's what we're all about. Some of y'all might not vibe with that. That's okay. But every single one of us, God, has a purpose and destiny in our lives. And so we're going to start things off today. And I think it's important for every church to start this way, is to recognize that we are Christ-centered church. In fact, this is one of the demarcations of any church that you visit. If it's not Christ-centered, run. I'm looking at me really scary. Like, what do you mean? Like, centered on Jesus. Your church should be centered on Jesus, right? It's very important for us to be centered on Christ. How many of you are familiar with New Year's resolutions? Some of y'all are looking real convicted right now because you are remembering on December 30th around there, you pulled out a journal and you were like, I'm going to write it in the journal because I don't read paper anymore, so I'll just put it away somewhere. And you put down this list of things. I'm going to gain everything except weight, you know, those sorts of things. Set targets and goals. And whether you realize it or not, although it's Australia Day here, it's actually Chinese New Year this weekend. So I love living in Asia, so, you know, when I didn't have to buy any New Year resolutions work out, I just jump on the Chinese New Year and start again. It's like, oh, I didn't work it out, but, you know, praise God, I can repent and then come back. Chinese New Year, Hong Si Pan Tai, and, you know, like, go into it. But during New Year, a lot of people make plans around what they center their lives around. Now, this is, on that screen is actually a picture of our beautiful river, and, you know, you go down South Bank. Any of you go down at South Bank during New Year's? Awesome. You're like me, just watch it on Channel 7 or whatever. And then during this time, we make these plans. And the idea behind making these plans, you can see what a person centers their life on by the way they plan their life out. Whether it's your budget or schedule, if you have a schedule, or, you know, my sister used to always tell me there's three types of people in the world: those who make it happen, those who watch it happen, those who wake up and go, what happened? And you can, and then life happens to you accidentally. And when it happens accidentally, actually what you center your life upon becomes that driving force behind what you do. So I'm going to ask you today, what's your bullseye? What's your center today? What have you centered your life upon? Now, it's easy from a religious perspective to say, oh, I center it on Jesus. But what does that actually look like? Yeah. To say, oh, my life is centered on Jesus. Right? We might sing the song, Jesus and center it all, from beginning to the end. Hallelujah. It will always be so. Thank you, Jesus. And then right after that, you don't live like that. And act like that. Out of that same mouth come words that aren't quite as Christ-centered as what you hope. I want to propose to you today, there are two ways that you can see what a person's life is centered on. Two ways you can see what a person's life is centered on. One, the way that you can see it, the first way you can see what a person's life is centered on is when they have an abundance, when they have plenty, when they have heaps, as we say here in Australia. So many of you have met Joe Sosipata, who's actually running youth with Debbie and today. But on Mondays, we have the opportunity to go into Akagori prison down in Waco, the Remand Center down there, every Monday, and we run a program alongside Lily, which helps the inmates to recognize their state and then help them to center on Christ's purpose for their lives. It's an awesome environment. But we met this particular guy on Monday, just gone. And we were talking to him, he's a Kiwi dude from Dunedin. Any of you all been to Dunedin before? Highlanders territory? And so he started to talk about how he moved from Dunedin to Australia, he was a builder. He specialized in a specific area of building, and then an opportunity came up. Cha-ching! And you all been there, or maybe you have a friend who's been there, like an opportunity comes up, you're in NZ or wherever you are, and you're like, oh wow, I can make some money here in Australia, so maybe I can move. An opportunity's there. But what ended up happening was, like, he made a ton of money, but that money ended up being somewhat of an amplifier to the character that he had. Because before you knew it, he was in this life of opulence, which means, you know, he had it all, cars, houses, all that goes with it. I'm going to keep it PG because I recognize we've got children in here, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he had it all. And then with that came the vices that go with having that lifestyle. And before you knew it, he was addicted to certain things. Before you knew it, it wasn't enough. And then when the money wasn't coming in, and to feed into those things that were habitual patterns, he had to engage in certain activities that would eventually fast forward. We met him on Monday in the Remand Center, and we just started talking to him. Because, and this was out of his own mouth, like, I recognized that it was because of that money and that opportunity that I had, that I landed there because I wasn't ready for it. You see, because having resource, having plenty like that actually amplifies the character that's in your heart. You've actually got to be careful to jump out at opportunities that God has not given you because your character's not ready for it. We pray the wrong prayer. Like as a musician too, it's easy for us to say, man, I want to be the next Beyonce. Well, not me, but like, you know, sister. So we're going. They had to make an album. No. Like, but so, you know, like, because a lot of us have our aspirations and we see this glamorous lifestyle of somebody we follow on Spotify. And so we're like, oh, I want to be like this person. But we don't recognize that, you know, God hasn't given it to us because, you know, we pray for it, but we actually need to thank God he hasn't given it to us because our character's not ready for that. And maybe that's not the will of God for you in the first place. So this is the first way that God exposes centeredness, and what we center our lives on. So when you have heaps. The second way, which is the way that I want to talk about a bit more today, the second way you can find out what somebody's life is centered on is actually when they're suffering and when they're under pressure. Because when they're under pressure, that's when you can see what is on the inside. Luke 6:45 from the Bible here, from the New Testament, this is Jesus talking. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And the next verse says, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? In fact, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? It says it twice. You know, when you call somebody that you know really well, you don't need to call them twice. But if it's not an abundance in your heart, you may need to call them twice. Why? Because you don't have that relationship. And it's not an abundance in your heart. And so when that pressure comes on you, whatever that pressure may be, there's this tendency to perform. There's this tendency to try and center your life around whatever that thing is. So here's where we find the Apostle Paul when he writes in 2 Corinthians. Check this out. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in body or out of body, I do not know, but God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. Another way that you can tell what a person centers their life on is who they are when nobody is watching. Do we feel like we need to repeat ourselves because nobody believes us? I know it's not you, but have you met somebody that's kind of like one of those people that when you tell them, when you ask them, hey, are you going to be there? They feel like they need to repeat themselves by saying, yeah, like three times, like Usher.
Yeah.
They're going to be there, yeah. Have you met that guy? But not you, but like, you met that person? Yeah, I'll be there. And in your heart, when you hear that from somebody else again, not you, but when you hear that from somebody else, your heart is really wondering, oh, is this dude going to be there? Like, for real? Is he going to be there? Because he has a track record of not following through. And how bad is it when that's Christians? Followers of Jesus. When we lack our integrity. Now, integrity is ultimately formed by what you're passionate about anyway. You know, you can try and change behavior, but it'll always veer towards, this is what the Bible calls, this is when what the Bible calls iniquity, right? When you are at iniquity, it's like a car with bad wheel alignment. You get your hands off the wheel, it starts to veer off towards the left or the right, depending on the direction of the bad wheel alignment. And we naturally have bad wheel alignment in our spirits. It's called sin. We basically have intrinsic sin in our lives because of what has happened before. And so when we let go of that wheel, intrinsically we start to veer off because we're not centered on Jesus. So the wrong way to preach the gospel would say, you can try better. No, you can't try at all. Because your nature is sinful. You need to surrender. This is the gospel. Like a false gospel would say, do better. The real gospel would say, be deader. What do I mean by that? It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. I recognize that I'm weak and I can try it. And this is the reason why a lot of our people in our communities are just tired of churchianity. It's because we've seen a lot of failure of people that just try in their own effort, in their own volition to correct only that which only Christ can correct. See, I'm here as somebody just like you, who is imperfect, but all by the grace of God. And it's because of this strength I find in my own weakness, I'm able to be here and testify, yes, I'm an ordained minister, but beyond that ordination, I'm a human being, brought by the grace of Jesus. And unless I point people towards that Jesus, I can easily be somebody that actually blocks you from being able to see the real Christ. And what ends up happening is we build ministries around the personality of one person where it becomes centered on that person rather than centered on Jesus. Anybody with me?
Yes.
Interesting. So Paul starts to talk about how he's the one who sees this other man. Did you catch that in the passage? I know a man who encountered God and went to the third heaven. Now, I know in our community here in Logan, you may have heard that passage. Okay, I'm not going to mention all our churches and all that, but you may have heard there are cults, okay? Cults are particular religious beliefs that come off-center from what the Bible actually teaches. And some actually teach that there is actually a third heaven of which you can attain by your own efforts in order to get to the third heaven. I'm going to tell you today that's called eisegesis, because that's when you isolate a specific passage of the Bible, you create a whole doctrine out of it, which the Bible should actually prove true from Genesis to Revelation. What Paul's getting at here is actually that he had such a deep level of intimacy with God that it felt like he was in that third heaven. And how many of you have been there? Like, you've been in that place of just encountering Jesus where it's so powerful, it feels like, man, I can't even describe it. Like, I'm thinking about times that I can't even describe it. But it's so powerful. What ends up happening is you're drawn to this humility where Paul even recognizes that, you know what, I know a man, because it was not by my own effort that I was able to enter into that third heaven kind of intimacy with God. What he's saying here is that, man, I recognize that it was by God's grace that I was able to enter into any form of intimacy. Because ultimately, Jesus is the greatest worship leader that ever existed. If the objective of a worship leader is to create an environment where people encounter God, what Jesus did at the cross, tearing the veil, right? The veil was that which kept the laity and anybody who wasn't a high priest from coming into the presence of God. What Jesus did as the great high priest was enable that we could encounter Jesus as imperfectly. We can encounter God now, but by the grace of God. Isn't that awesome? So we're starting to see here, right? Who are we when no one else is watching? Who are we when we have lots, heaps? Who are we when the pressure's on? Let me ask you another one. This might course, it's even more awkward. Are you okay if you don't get any credit for it? See, this is what Paul does, right? He says, look, I totally give glory to God. Not in like, you know, where the Grammy Award is about to happen, like later this week, right? And they say, glory to God, thank you, God, for all the talents. Thank you for the gifts. Give them back to you, like if there's a return policy on gifts. You give them back to you, God, for the gifts. God's not after our gifts. God's after your character. God's after who you are behind the scenes. So are you okay when you don't get any credit? What if everybody else on your team gets their name mentioned and you don't get your name mentioned? That's how you can tell what your center is. My boss didn't talk about me, talk about everybody else on my team, you know, the team that I lead, when they mentioned all of them. And how come they got all those little trophies? How come, where's my trophy? Look, just go down and pay my son. That's why I stopped sports. And I used to play sports for trophies, and I started saying, man, I can buy those. Don't need to. No, I'm just kidding. Do sports. Do sports. Are you okay if you don't get any credit? That's how you can tell what your life's centered on, is if you don't get your name in lights, if you don't get any recognition. Let me go real deep. And again, this doesn't have to be you, it might be somebody else, but maybe your parents that didn't give you recognition, or you perceived them to not give you recognition. This is also how you can tell if your life's centered on Christ. Look, I know the struggle is real. I know the struggle. I'm not taking this for granted. But I know that there's one who has paid a price in order that you may be lifted into this place of accreditation to enter into his presence. Last thing is, you know, are you okay if not only do you not get any credit, but if things go wrong, you get all the blame unrighteously? See, I can see some of y'all looking at me now going, oh, okay, this is the last time we visit this church because it was supposed to make us happy. If you think about somebody who exemplified all of these qualities. Let's go back through them, right? He recognized, he wasn't concerned about how many followers he had on Instagram, how many people saw his on TikTok. He wasn't concerned about all that. Whatever all that stuff is, I don't know. He wasn't concerned about how many people were, you know, like liking his post on Facebook. He wasn't concerned about all of that. In fact, the Bible says that there were thousands in crowds, and he would make statements like, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross. I mean, this isn't like Tupac, right? He would wear a cross around his neck. That's not the cross that he's talking about. He's talking about an instrument of execution. It's no longer you that live it. The Christ that liveth in you. That's right. Well, King James brings up some bad memories for you. It's not about you anymore. Oh, what? I thought, you know, Christianity is all about, like, going to movie world and not having to stand in line anymore because Jesus has enabled me to get the fast pass in Jesus' name because I can get on the rides quicker. No, it's more than just praying for a car park. My gosh, that's such a small part of being a Christian. God, give me a car park, and have, you know, the maximum use of your Christianity. Actually, your Christianity shows when you don't get the car park. Yeah. And you're supposed to lift hands in glory, but you lift certain fingers on it. Yeah, I'm just going to leave that here. See, Jesus wasn't worried about who was watching, because inevitably, even though he would make a statement like, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, he inevitably died by himself on a cross. Even the guys he hung out with would eventually leave him. His treasurer sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. His right-hand man, who he poured his life into, denied him before three people. One of them was a little girl. Aren't you that fellow that, yeah, no, it wasn't me. It's like Shaggy wasn't me. Like he wasn't taking any claim for any of that. Jesus died alone, so he wasn't concerned. So it's not a matter of him being concerned about who's watching. It's not even a concern about him getting any credit, because he didn't get any credit. And guess what? Are you okay with us getting the blame? He took all the blame. So if there's somebody who was centered on God that we can follow. And this is the difference between what we do as Christians and what we get to follow as followers of Christ and any other religion. Is religion will try to perform its way through obedience to whatever the teaching is. In Buddhism, it's Dharma. You know, whatever the Quran says, and hopefully we'll get in. And Jesus says, no, you're not going to get in that way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. I'm the only way. And if you center your life on me, you'll enter into this place of relationship with God that Paul is talking about. Paul goes on to say, right, though if I should wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So God allows for him to go through certain circumstances. The enemy puts pressure on him. God in his sovereignty allows for it to happen. And what ends up happening is that he's at a place of humility. And he's like, God, have any of you been there? Look, I'm there all the time. And I'm crying out to God, God, give me relief! How many of you have ever prayed that deep spiritual prayer, that like the deepest spiritual prayer? It's only got one word to that prayer. You know that prayer?
Help!
You know that prayer? None of y'all? Man, you guys got it all together, man. I'm telling you. This has been many times in my life. Help! And then Paul says, though if I should boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees or hears from me, right? So he's put in this place of beginning to understand, man, it's never been about me. Because if anyone was qualified to talk about it being about them, was Paul. Most biblical scholars would say that he had enough qualifications to fulfill the 2 PhDs at top theological institutes, if it was modern day. That's the level of knowledge he had. This missiologist, able to understand the culture and how to engage it and see people wonder Christ. And yet it wasn't about that. The Bible even goes on to say, like, he had all of these qualifications, but he counts them all as rubbish. And goes on to even say beyond that, not just rubbish, but dumb. You know what I'm saying? The word in the Greek is actually words we can't say here in Logan today. It's that bad compared to knowing God. And here's where I'm going to wind up tonight. Just by asking you, who's really at the center of your life? Are you on the stage of your life? Are you on the platform? The spotlight's really on you. And let me tell you something, even as a Christian, part of my testimony too is that I constantly got to keep myself in check with regards to whether the spotlight's really on Christ or whether it's on me. I wasn't planning to share this, but I feel the need to share it just as a form of vulnerability and transparency with you all. When we moved here from Asia, the ministry that my wife and I were involved in, because I was involved in a lot, to do a worship ministry. And so at the time, there was a lot of opportunity, what would seem like great opportunities. And this is doing the Lord's work. Like, traveling all over the world, speaking and leading worship at different conferences, crowds of people, getting to work with many people of names who you know. And I'm not saying this to brag, but to bring attention to when we moved here, coming from a church that was, our church wasn't huge, but we had a couple thousand people in our church, and so I was part of that pastoral team, and then God calls us to Australia, and at the time, when we moved here, we were meeting, and some of you were there, but Helen's wife was there, and Jess was there, and Ray was there, and we were meeting in this classroom at UQ. We had to be really quiet because there were science experiments going on upstairs. And if we were too loud, the beakers would shatter or something, I don't know. Like Bunsen burners would go off. I don't know, sensors. Maybe it was your singing, says, I don't know. I'm just kidding. But like, we're there, and I began to think, man, at that time our church was like 30 people, 30, just over 30 people. I'd say just over because I was counting pregnant babies as well. You have to be careful, man, be careful. You know, when you say, oh, you're pregnant, right? It could be the start of a church split. But like, my point is, I would come home like, what are we doing here? And let me keep it really real. I'll be like, no one knows who I am. No one knows the academics that I have. Not here. I'm in a small room. How many of you know when it's quiet, you can hear your soul scream for attention? And sometimes our lives are just so noisy that we don't recognize we're not centered on Jesus. And that was the real, even though I'm in ministry. I've been in ministry now, this year is my 20th year. I've been in ministry for 20 years. At that time, it was 15 years. And so, you know, like, about the accolades. And your accolades don't mean jack to Jesus. And then I was in that moment, and I thank God. Thank God for moments like that when I'd be curled up like a sucker. If you saw a picture of me, it's sickening, man. But that's the state of my soul at the time. It wasn't healthy. Started hitting the direction of depression. Praise God for pastors and counselors who were able to help me through it. And thank God that I learned how real my faith was, so it's not built around numbers and people, crowds, the ability to have put on a production. Let me tell you something. God taught me in those moments that now I can show you how the church that I'm building. It's not about crowds. It's not about being able to look. If I want to see a production, I'll go down to Lake Park. I'll go down to Suncorp Stadium and watch Coldplay play, or U2. It's funny because we went and watched Coldplay with my wife a couple of years ago, and they just walked out on stage, and then the first fireworks went up. And just one firework. And I just said, oh, there goes our annual budget for our church. It's in one firework. But too many churches are trying to outproduce the world. Too many churches are trying to, like, oh, the world is doing this, let's do this. Or that church on Instagram is doing this, let's do this. Let's try to outcompete. No, just bring the gospel center your life on Christ. That's what Jesus wants. And in that moment, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, in those moments, God showed me how my love is real. I don't care about what you've done. I don't care about all the accolades. In fact, if you got no accolades, you're in a better place. Because you're closer to my main accolade, which is my son Jesus, letting his life down for us. That's what it means to be Christ-centered. I can honestly tell you, again, and I'm in the process too, but I can honestly tell you I'm in a much better place. I'm not wrapping my identity up in doing what I'm doing right now. I am first a child of God before I'm a man, a microphone in my hand, preaching this gospel. This is what I do out of the abundance of what he's done in my heart. And that's wrecking me for anything else. I know what this third heaven feels like because I know what it's like to make my bed in hell and be there. Some of us in this room may have come just to, again, support somebody, or maybe have just come because you've been to Every Nation service in town and thought, man, it's just around the corner from my house. I'll come and check it out. We're glad you're here. But this is the foundation of everything that we're about. God loves you just the way you are, enough to not keep you there, but to help elevate you into that plan, purpose, and purpose for your life. But it's not based on your efforts. You don't earn this love. Anything I do now in this life is as a thank you for what he's already done. The reason why we're here at Every Nation Logan is as a thank you for what Jesus has already done in our lives. There's tons of churches here doing great work in Logan. We just want to join alongside what they're doing and commit to just making disciples and serving the city. So as I close tonight, I just want to ask you, what is your life today? What is your life today? We do things a little different here at Every Nation because in our services in Brisbane, what we do and what I want to invite you to do now is actually to get in small groups. And it's the community. It's the reason why we don't turn the lights all the way down. So you recognize that we're all a part of community. And so we're going to break up into smaller groups of about three or four people around you. And then what I want you to do is ask that question as transparently or as not transparently as you want. There's no pressure, no judgment. But just ask that question with you and then pray for one another. This is the question. Is your life centered on Jesus? Be real. If it's not, we want to have that opportunity. Not just me praying for you to come up the front of anything, but we recognize that in this place there are Christians that can help you pray, that can be activated in these moments to pray for you. Of course I'm here to serve. Of course I'm here to help you pray for you. But it's in these moments that we actually see the church come together. We can build relationships and pray for one another. So, can I give you that question today? Is your life centered? Feel free to say no. Feel free to say yes. Feel free to say I'm not sure. We just discussed what that might mean. And what I want you to do is just take an opportunity to pray for one another. Then we're going to enter into a time of worship and song. Again, some of you might be wondering, well, how can we understand one song? Where's the other songs? You stink. Worship is a response to what Jesus has done for us. We wanted to highlight what Jesus has done for us so we know how to respond to that. And again, this is just the way we do things here. We know it's different in different places, but I feel we need to explain that. That we'll have an opportunity to respond. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.